Happy Wednesday, women of strength. Welcome to the Be Back Link podcast. I am your host, Lily, and I am joined today by, as always, the wonderful, beautiful, incredible, travel-worn Paige.
Hi, everybody.
She is from the States.
Back in Korea, was in the States for about 3 weeks, having big withdrawals. Not gonna lie, I hit up Walmart like the night before we were flying out, and I got a little teary. And then we just went to the commissary on base before we were recording, and like almost teary again because I was just, I missed the options. I miss them.
I miss Walmart.
I miss the fun snacks. But no,
totally
happy to be back. I miss my people. I miss Lily.
I know.
That was so sweet and fun.
It was. I had someone message me that was like, your photo shoot, you guys just look so joyful. And I was like, we were so joyful. Like the two of us getting to meet in person, grabbing each other's faces, like, oh my God, you're real. And we're the same size. Guys, Paige is so excited because we are the same size, like height wise, and we can share jeans, which feels very like sisterhood of the traveling pants.
Yes. Yes. It doesn't happen often. Because we're short and we have booties. So, like, that's a little unique.
It is. It is. I love
but,
you.
And there were so many moments, too, where we just, like, had moments. I don't know.
Yeah.
We just got each other and we were in sync and we were re-recording our parent course. And we were just, like, boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Knocked it out. Got it done.
It was so good. Ugh, it was so great.
Literally laughed and cried, had breakdowns, had laughing fits, very sleep deprived, but...
Yeah, the ultimate slumber party. We went to Target multiple times.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. It reminds me of your Walmart story. When my niece was little, we would do like a prayer before bed, and my mom has this video of her. And she's praying, and she goes, and God bless Target, and bless me. And that's how I feel. Like you feel about Walmart. Like God,
I mean,
bless Walmart.
I don't think I would say that about Walmart usually. God bless Target and Walmart, and I just,
and God bless me,
and I love America. You know, it's all good.
But so good.
Also love Korea. Love my life here.
That's so great. All right. Well, we have Stephanie on the podcast today, who is such a special guest for me. My friend Emily lived here in Colorado. We are sweet friends. We talk all the time. We were talking on voice memos back and forth just today. And then she moved back home to Pennsylvania, where she met Steph, and they became like really good friends. And when Steph was pregnant with her VBAC baby and was like texting me and asking for breech baby advice and updates. And so I feel like I've gotten to know Stephanie through our mutual friend. And then today just get to hear her birth story. And it was so, so special. And I think just she talks at one point about being open-handed about her story. And I think that this illustrates how beautiful birth can be when we have that open-handedness. And so I'm just so stoked for you all to hear. We get stories about questions about ECVs often. And an ECV is an external cephalic version where a obstetrician attempts to manually flip the baby, hands on your belly, rotating baby from breech to head down. And Stephanie's was successful, though she did decline an ECV with her baby before that who was breech. And so she talks a little bit about weighing the pros and cons of decision making and ultimately what led her to decide for an ECV. And it was successful and she had an unmedicated VBAC. And yeah, it's so great. So before we do that, Paige has a really fun review. Women of Strength, this is the last week that you can vote for us in the Best of NoCo Best Podcast category. We're going to put the link in the show notes. If you don't know, I am a born and raised Northern Coloradoan. I always say I'm born, raised, and never leaving. And it would mean so, so much to us. You've probably heard ads on the podcast the last couple months asking for your vote. And this is your last chance to vote. Voting ends on September 1st. And it would mean so much to us to win Best Podcast in Northern Colorado. So you can vote once per email address. So if you happen to have multiple email addresses and want to just give us some extra love, if you haven't yet, you can vote. It takes less than 2 minutes. It's super simple. But your vote would mean the world to us. And this is someone you can write in why you love the VBAC link when you vote, if you want to. It's an option. And she sent us her why. So this is that.
This is that. And I love Colorado too. And I got to see Lily's hometown. We hung out at her house for a little bit and her kids got to play, which was so fun. And she's convincing me to, she's trying to convince me to move to Northern Colorado.
She needs to. She's going to. That's
what's going to happen. Out of the military. And I think it's actually maybe kind of working because it's so beautiful up there and she knows the best people too. Okay, here's the review. Or the feedback, I guess. I cannot express how incredibly life-changing, encouraging, educational, and needed, in all caps, this podcast is. The C-section rate in our country is astronomically high, and it is not because women have suddenly, after thousands of years, become incompetent at birthing their babies. The reasons for our dismal C-section rate are varied, but one of the greatest reasons that this podcast beautifully and wonderfully seeks to remedy is that women do not have access to the education, support, stories, and encouragement they need to equip them about birth and birthing again after a previous C-section, to be exact. A method of birth that carries many stigmas, uncertainty, and even fear around it for many mothers. This podcast is an immense benefit to the community and the country and honestly, the world as a whole. Absolutely worth being labeled as the best podcast. Oh, thank you so much for those kind, kind words. And Stephanie's story is one of those episodes that will give you that empowerment. Like, it is incredibly, incredibly empowering.
Yeah, we can't wait. So we'll be back after our intro with Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Lily.
And I'm Paige. Welcome to the VBAC Link podcast.
We're moms and doulas who know firsthand that birth after cesarean isn't always straightforward. I'm a miscarriage and ectopic mom who went on to have a hospital water birth VBAC.
And I've had two CBACs and a planned maternal assisted cesarean.
Our experiences may be different, but our mission is the same, to make birth after cesarean better.
On this podcast, you'll hear powerful stories of VBACs, repeat cesareans, and CBACs from women around the world.
We'll also bring in expert insight, practical tools, and encouragement to help you feel informed and supported as you plan your next birth.
Whether you're preparing for a VBAC, choosing a repeat cesarean, or simply exploring your options, this space is for you.
Because every story matters, and we're here to remind you that you've got options, you've got support, and you're never alone.
The VBAC Link is storytelling by nature. The stories on this podcast do not represent a universally best or safest option for everyone.
This podcast is intended to encourage and inform. It does not replace individualized advice from a qualified medical provider.
Women of Strength, welcome back. We are so, so, so excited to be here with Stephanie. I'm excited because we have a mutual friend and I'm just really stoked to hear about her birth. I got to kind of hear a little bit of her journey from our mutual friend as she was walking it. And so feel so stoked to hear from you in person. But I'm going to read a little bit about her and then we will get into all the things about her birth and just she has like so much goodness in life. And so if you are a mama near State College, you have to go find Stephanie because she's got cool things for you. So Stephanie is a pre- and postnatal fitness specialist, birth doula, and founder of Mission Rise, a 20-minute at-home strength training program for women, as well as Mission Motherhood, a week-by-week fitness program designed to support women through each week of pregnancy and postpartum. She also leads State College Stroller Fitness, where she helps local moms build strength while creating community alongside their little ones. As a Christian wife and mother of four, Stephanie brings both professional expertise and personal experience to her work, having experienced two unmedicated births, an unexpected cesarean for a breech baby, and a successful unmedicated VBAC following an ECV for another breech baby. Since becoming a doula in 2024, she has been passionate about equipping women with education, confidence, and hope so they can approach birth feeling informed, empowered, and supported, no matter how their stories unfold. So, Steph, we are just stoked. I can't wait to just sit back, relax, and enjoy your birth story. So the floor is yours. Tell us about these babies that you have. And if you want to weave in a little bit of like how you got to do what you're doing, that would be so cool too.
Sure. Thank you so much. I just feel absolutely honored to give back in this way and to share my birth stories with all of you amazing women. I will share my first birth first because I think that's really special, the one that makes you a mom. That one can really, you know, set up everything. I feel like when I became a doula, one of the things that was shared in my certification course, I will never forget. And it's that years and years later, 20 plus years down the line, you will remember your birth. You'll remember your nurse's name, what you ate that day. You'll remember everything. And so looking back to my first birth, it was so transformative, like we know birth is. And I'll share that first. I'll move through the others and spend most time on this recent, my last baby, my fourth baby, because it was my VBAC birth. And so we'll spend most of the time there, but I'll set things up and I would love to just share a little bit about myself and my life as I go. So my first birth was in 2018. It was before I became a doula, and I didn't have the knowledge for sure that I do now. I'll be honest and say that my nursery was Pinterest ready for sure. But when it came to knowledge of birth and positioning, I just didn't put the work in. And so I remember knowing that I wanted to have an unmedicated birth. That was my goal. I did put together a birth plan and I went to the hospital knowing that I believed in myself that I could do it, but I laid there. I did zero positioning and I had my son. He made me a mom almost 8 years ago, and that was my first birth. Second birth was 2 years later, and it was during COVID. And so at that point, I knew what to expect. I was not a doula yet, so I did have some more knowledge, obviously, but I went in during COVID, and I remembered I wanted to stay at home so that my son could see me when he woke up. And then I went to the hospital. So that gave me the motivation to labor at home as long as I could to make it until morning to see him wake up. And when I went to the hospital for my second baby, I was 7 centimeters dilated. I got there at 9 a.m. She was born at 12:05. But during COVID, obviously crazy times, I pushed with a mask on. And that might make you think like, oh, that was probably really restrictive. It was, but also it made me slow down my breathing and just dial into all of that, because if not, I knew I would have probably got really anxious. And so that birth was super fast. Like looking back, there was few pictures. It was during COVID, like I said, and it's hard to really remember that birth because it was just so fast and lack of pictures and everything. I could have one support person. It was my husband. And so still a very positive experience. Those first were unmedicated. Like I said, I really learned a lot from the first to second when it came to, again, laboring at home in my own environment, how to push. My mom joked with me. She was with me as well as my sister and my husband for my first birth. My legs were shut. And my mom like tapped me. She's like, Steph, you're going to have to open your legs for this baby to come out. So I definitely came far for that second birth. I got pregnant 2 years later. I had a miscarriage right before I got pregnant, though, with my third. And that really was a turning point for me. I mean, it changes how you approach prenatal appointments. If you've ever had a loss, you know exactly what I mean. You don't go in super excited. You can't wait to see the heartbeat. You're closing your eyes, just praying that there's a heartbeat. And so that pregnancy for me was very different than my first two. Not that I was naive to miscarriage, but when it happens to you, it deeply affects you and it changes you. And so I became pregnant that third time and I found out that my baby was breech and she would not budge. I did look up spinning babies. I did all of that. And so I was even presented an ECV to have her turned. And I said no. I think I said no at that point. Again, this was before I was a doula, didn't have the knowledge I do today. But I said no because I didn't want to put my body and the baby under any more stress, or so I thought, by having the ECV. So I did elect for that scheduled C-section. That was at 39 weeks. I put my research in. I did the work for that one. I knew I wanted a gentle C-section birth. I wanted to have a clear drape. I wanted to announce the gender. All of our babies were surprise babies. Aww. And I wanted to see the gender. And I wanted to have that same feeling like I did with my first two births. And I feel like with a C-section, truly, it can be as beautiful as a vaginal birth. We all know that. And so that birth for me, it changed me having that C-section. As someone who does fitness for a living, recovering from a C-section and having two small toddlers at that time was more difficult than I expected. I feel like as a doula now, a lot of my clients have C-sections, and I feel like many of them have great recoveries. Mine for me was tough. It was tough on my body. It was tough getting back into exercise, making sure that I was doing things properly. That C-section really, I like to say it happened for me, not to me. It happened for me. A few years later, I ended up becoming a doula and looking at a woman in the eyes and saying, this is what you're going to experience. This is what it's going to be like. And knowing that I can deeply relate and have that empathy and walk them through from a genuine place, I think that that makes me a better doula. So I'm thankful for that C-section. I don't regret it. I'm glad it happened for me. And so after that, I got pregnant for this last time. And this is the biggest age gap between our kids. They're all 2 years apart, except our last, Levi. He was born just 3 months ago, and it has just been the biggest joy. And looking back at his pregnancy and his birth, it was so redemptive from the start. And so as soon as I got pregnant, I knew that I wanted to have AV back. In the meantime, from my third pregnancy to my fourth, I did become a doula. How I became a doula was I always wanted to be, but I had very small children and still do. My life is it. I don't know how. When I put my head on the pillow at night, I like the day happened and I do what I'm able to do. But I feel like when you're meant to do what you're doing, you are just given this like expansion, like you're able to do it. And that is really how I feel. And so my sister, I have just one sibling, my sister, she's 3 years younger than me. And when she became pregnant, she knew that my mom and her husband would be her two support people. And she kind of said, Steph, I want you there. Why don't you do your doula certification now so that you can be that person in the room and you won't count as a support person. And my sister encouraged me to do it. And so I did it. I found Dona International. I became certified. And being into fitness and doing what I already do, I didn't know how it would fit my plate of life. And I thought, maybe I'll just do this on the side. I'll have my three births for my certification, be able to be with my sister. I think year one, I had 8 births. Year two, over double that. And it just fell into place. Even with raising small children and even becoming pregnant, I was able to do it. And my sister, again, was that encourager. But so I knew that I wanted to have AV back. Became pregnant that fourth time. And I had a great pregnancy. I was actually planning for a home birth. And I think some people were kind of questioning, you're planning a VBAC home birth. And I thought to myself, yes, I am. I have full trust in my body. I know what I'm meant to do. I know what I'm capable of doing. I'm not alone in this. And that was the plan. I hired an amazing Christian midwife locally. She was with me for my prenatal care. And something unique about my story, I also went to my local hospital, kind of did that collaborative care. So I did have OB care along with that midwifery care, which I feel like is honestly really valuable. And so she was with me until 37 weeks. She obviously stayed with me, and I'll explain more of that. But we discovered that my baby was breech really at that 20-week anatomy scan. And I knew I had time, but also my mindset having a breech baby previously, I knew that the clock was ticking. And I did everything in my power, having the knowledge, having multiple births under my belt, seeing an ECV with my own eyes with a client. I knew it was possible, but I wanted to exhaust all of my options naturally before kind of moving on to the next step. And so I did everything. When I say everything, I mean everything. I stretched every single day. I had acupuncture done. I had a Webster certified chiropractor. I actually went to a spinning babies course early on in my fourth pregnancy with my sister. My sister is also a doula. She went with me to this spinning babies course and we had a full day of training. I did all the positions. I did all the things and the baby just would not budge. Like the head was literally under my rib, would not budge. And my midwife did positioning with me. I had a doula friend come over. And I finally elected to do an ECB. And at that time, thinking back, there was so much going on within my family. So my sister, who I said is a doula as well, got pregnant with her second, and we had our babies 13 days apart. 13 days apart. And at one time, our babies were both breech. And I remember questioning, like, what happened to my body from the first two pregnancies to my third and fourth? Why are these babies breech? Why is my sister's baby breech? Her baby flipped naturally. It was great. I was able to, very pregnant, drive over 3 hours to her birth and serve her as her doula and wow. watch her welcome her second baby. It was such an amazing experience. And our goal the whole time that we were both pregnant together was to be at each other's births. And so she came to mine and she had her infant
13 days postpartum.
My house. 2 weeks old she was literally. And my sister was with me for my birth. So that was really special. But
That's so beautiful,
I drove
Stephanie.
Very pregnant and was able to be with her for her birth. But such an amazing experience to be pregnant with your sister, to be each other's doulas. It's very, very special. So my baby did not flip on his own like her baby did. And I remember talking with my midwife about it, who was very calm and supportive of whatever I decided. And there's a local hospital here where I would say probably 80-ish percent of the births that I do are at that hospital. It's 5 minutes away. It's super convenient. But sometimes in life, I feel like when there's like a carrot right in front of you of convenience, of comfort, I could deliver here. I could just have the ECV done here. There's a hospital through being a doula that I absolutely love and think so highly of that has midwifery and OB care. Midwives are employed there 24/7. You decide who you want at your birth, whether it's a midwife or OB, completely hands off, super respectful of your birth plan. I knew that even driving an hour and 15 minutes, that distance didn't matter. And so I talked to my midwife about it. I knew that I had that further hospital on my mind. I had told a friend, and she mentioned that her sister was a nurse there. And so her sister actually put me in contact with an OB there who was willing to meet me at 36 weeks to kind of talk about it, feel my belly, see if I was a good candidate for the ECV. So I drove out there and her confidence made me confident. She put her hands on my belly. And again, I feel like having an ECV, a few things that helped me. I'm a fourth time mom. My uterus is compliant at this point. It knows what to do, right? There's space in there at that 36, 37 week mark. And so when at 36 weeks, she put her hands on my belly and I just remember her saying, Steph, I feel confident about this. I feel confident about this. She said, I can't guarantee you, you know this. She said, but I feel confident about this. And I believed her. I met her that one time at 36 weeks, and it was like all that home birth preparation that I truly poured my heart into preparing for that home birth. It all didn't matter because I wanted that VBAC more, and I found someone who believed in it and wanted it as much as I did. And I said to her, she said, I want you back at 37 weeks if you decide to do this. And I said, well, there's a catch. My sister is having a baby. I'm going to be there with her. Like, that's my priority. And we kind of laid it all out. And she said, if you can get here at or around 37 weeks, that will be the best case scenario for you. So I was with my sister. And 2 days later, I drove back to that hospital, an hour and 15 minutes from me, to have that ECV done. And childcare was limited because my family was with my sister who just welcomed her baby. My aunt, who's like a second mom, drove up from Philly, which is like a 3-ish hour drive to be with my kids to get them to school. My husband and I went up to that hospital that's further away, like I said, and that was an early morning. It was like, I think we left the house at 3 a.m. And it, like, nothing mattered. I knew that it could be successful. And any spark of hope I was going to take because how deeply I desired to have that VBAC. And so I went in to that ECV, and it was crazy to me because this whole time planning this home birth and also being a doula, I'm like, oh, I'm not even going to make a birth plan because I'm having a home birth. It flipped. I had to make birth preferences because what if that ECV didn't work? What if the baby didn't tolerate it and I had to have a C-section right then and there at 37 weeks? So I brought that birth plan. I remember, you know, getting all hooked up, reviewing that birth plan and just feeling so confident with the decision that my husband and I made to go to that hospital, to be with those people, those providers, because every single thing on my birth plan, they said, not a big deal. That's our standard. We'll honor that. We won't separate you after the C-section. God forbid it ends up that way, but we don't think it will. We're believing with you. Like, they were for me.
And Steph, can we talk a little bit about what an ECV is before we get into kind of like what your experience with it was? But can we talk about kind of what it is? And you're mentioning some of those like risks. Can you dive into that a little bit?
Sure. So ECV is an external cephalic version. Basically, baby is turning from either transverse or breech position into that head down position. Going over the risks, I think back to that C-section I had with my third, and they did, like, they briefly mentioned an ECV. They weren't like, you can do this, like, let's try it. They briefly mentioned it. And at that time, the way that they made it seem was that the risks were so high that it shouldn't be something that I should consider. ECVs, I'm sure many of you listening have heard a lot of the VBAC Link podcast where women say, like, you know, sometimes it is a lot of pressure. Sometimes it can create some pain, right? That's what we hear. And I feel like hearing that often, it's just like a crazy birth story right when you're due having your own baby. It's like, I don't, you know, it's a story that we tell ourselves when we really need to go into it thinking every pregnancy is different. Every birth is different. My ECV does not have to be painful like the others that I've heard, because I've heard about ECVs that aren't painful. So yes, there are risks. I mean, cord can be wrapped around baby. Baby might just not tolerate it. Your uterus could spaz out. I mean, there are things that can happen. It can result in a C-section. And at that time, going into that ECV, I was prepared. Knowing what a C-section was like, I knew that I would get to meet my baby if that's what was going to happen. It's almost like with this fourth birth for me, I held it with open hands. I did not clench into a specific birth plan. This had to go exactly this way. I had to give that home birth up. I had to say, okay, this is not what the plan is for this baby's birth. That's okay. Even though it's my last baby, even though I've prepared so faithfully for this home birth, that's not what's meant for me right now. And so pivoting is what we have to do as women, right? So they did go through all the risks and all the things and through my birth plan right before the ECV, and just seeing that doctor there again, I felt so good about the way that she went out of her way for me. I don't believe I mentioned this, but at that 36-week appointment when she met me to kind of just check out my pregnancy, see, you know, how my previous C-section went, we went over all the things. But she works at a few hospitals. She was not even working at the hospital that I met her at in the office that day. I ended up finding out she drove over 40 minutes to meet me. I checked in, I gave my name. They said, oh, you're her only patient today. Like, that to me, I don't know why she did it to this day, but without her, this story wouldn't be. And so that ECV, they had an ultrasound tech there. Everything was monitored. I feel like a lot of the times we think an ECV is like, whoop, they're just going to completely turn the baby real quick. It is slow and methodical. They are checking for the heart rate. They're looking for the cord. They're looking for placement. And that ultrasound tech was with me, and it was literally, I kid you not, I'm not exaggerating, it felt like a massage on my belly. Like, if it was done on my back, it would have felt good. This was not painful at all. I was talking to the OB and my husband and the nurses like I'm talking to you all right now. It was not painful at all for me. She put her hands on my belly. She literally kind of massaged. It was kind of like waves, and got my baby to a transverse position. And I saw my husband standing at the foot of the bed, and his face was like, he knew, like, baby was transverse. You could see everything. And then she got him to head down. And something that we did that I feel like really helped me, two things. One, I did have a shot that they do routinely that relaxes the uterus. I was kind of big on, listen, I don't want to have an epidural. I don't want to get into all that. If there is something that can relax my uterus, that you do this standard for ECVs and it increases the success rate, I'll do it. So I did that. I had that shot done. It was just like a little pinch, nothing crazy. And before she started the ECV, she tilted the bed up to kind of lift my pelvis, lift the baby out of my pelvis. I feel like a lot of the times ECVs don't work in my clients that I've seen. Baby is too big. Maybe it's past 37 weeks or you just have a bigger baby. Biggest thing though is that the baby is too far engaged in the pelvis. The butt is too far into the pelvis if that's the positioning your baby's in. And so she tilted me, lifted the baby out before she turned to transverse and then head down. I think skill level is huge when it comes to ECVs. I knew that her skill level was just on point. You could tell in that first meeting I had with her, her confidence was there. And again, like I said, that made me confident. And I think the ECV maybe took 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Sometimes, obviously, we hear stories. Maybe this is you. Maybe you've had an ECV. Yes, it can take longer. Yes, it could be unsuccessful. Yes, they could try, take a pause and try again. But it worked literally in 2 minutes. Right away, they kind of made sure that the baby was head down. They put a belly binder on my stomach and asked me that I would wear that for most of the day, honestly, until I went into labor. Like, most of the day, even at night, if possible, wear that binder. And a tip I have is the hospital gave me like a corset binder that we see with C-sections. I actually found a really stretchy one. It looked like a tube top for your belly at Target. And that was so comfortable that you could lay in and sleep in, because the corset ones kind of dig in when you sit or sleep. We all know that if you've experienced it. Whereas this one, I could literally leave on all day, all night. And it just gave a little bit of pressure. And that encouraged the baby to stay down, because of course there's a risk he could have flipped back. And so he ended up staying down, head down. And I remember talking about, you know, what if he flips back with the provider? And she said, well, we will try it again. We'll do it again. And you can come back at 39 weeks. We'll try again and go from there. It was never, let's just jump to the C-section. That's what I loved so much. Like, she was willing to exhaust every option with me for that VBAC, because she knew how deeply I desired it. And so wore that binder. Like I said, I continued doing my thing, staying active, walking as much as I could. Something I did during this fourth pregnancy, which I really felt set up my VBAC to, was I ate whole foods the whole last third trimester and beyond. So whole foods, nourishing foods. I remember meeting with women that have had VBACs locally, just like soaking everything up like a sponge. And I'll never forget, one of the local girls said, I really focused on my nutrition. Like, I wasn't super crazy about it, but 90% of the time I was eating whole foods. I felt so much better postpartum, and that just stuck with me. So I did all those things. I continued doing that. And it was a Friday that I felt like I was 38 weeks at this point. My baby was definitely engaged. And even when I left that ECV, when it was successful, they kind of made sure he stayed head down, but he was engaged in the pelvis at that time even, which was super encouraging, like leaving there knowing like, wow, like this is going to happen. And so I just remember feeling really uncomfortable, like having multiple kids, you know, when the time is near, and the time was definitely near. There was like a free concert here at Penn State and my kids wanted to go. My husband, I'm like, I don't think I can stand that one. Like, it's just not going to happen. So I remember we went out, we made it fun for the kids. We got pizza. We went to this little donut shop. We had a fun time that Friday and we do a family Friday movie night. And so we came home Friday, we got the movie on, it was like 8 p.m. or so, and I started having contractions. And my husband's kind of looking at me like, oh, like, is it time? And I know at this point to just not jump into things, just to really keep myself busy and ignore it, honestly, if I could. And so I just remember kind of soaking up that time with my three toddlers. And that was the first time I experienced prodromal labor. And so it went on from 8 or so p.m. until about 3 in the morning, on and off. We know, if you don't know what prodromal labor is, it literally contractions that are real contractions. Your body is working. It's hard. And you feel those contractions, but then they fizzle out. But it doesn't mean they're not doing something. They are, but it's kind of that start and stop. They're not getting longer and stronger and closer together. They're not developing a rhythm, or if it's a rhythm, it fizzles out. It doesn't continue and pick up. And so I had that happen on that Friday. Saturday, same thing again, about 8 or 9 o'clock, the labor. And I've never in my previous 3 pregnancies had this start stop labor ever. Once my labor started, it started, and that was it. So it stopped again. And I just remember thinking, like, going into the 2 a.m., 3 a.m. mark, I'm thinking like, it is super late at night, early morning. I don't want my husband driving like a speed racer an hour and 15 minutes away. I had a neighbor that was going to come over with my kids if I needed. But in my mind, my body, I feel like, didn't think things were in place yet. My parents weren't here for my kids. My sister wanted to be with me for that birth. She's 3 hours from me. She wasn't on her way. Like, it, my body was just like, not yet. I know what to do to egg labor on. I didn't do those things because I didn't want to go into labor, full out labor, without my mom with me, my sister with me, my husband there. And so I just thought to myself, I'm going to start timing these contractions. And they were getting 5-6 minutes apart. And then I woke up and it was a 20-minute, 30-minute break. And they fizzled out again for the second night. So I woke up early that next day and I kind of said to myself, all right, I'm going to do the mile circuit. I am going to do this because this start-stop labor, maybe it's positioning, like I'm going through all the things in my mind. But I said, I'm going to give my parents a heads up and my sister that I'm going to call the hospital that I had the ECV at. I'm going to go back there. That was my mindset. I'm going to call them in the morning, see if I can be checked. And with my first 2 births, I had a membrane sweep. And within 5 to 6 hours, I went into labor. So I had planned, this was Sunday, I had planned on Tuesday going and having that membrane sweep, staying out there so I wasn't rushing over an hour to have this baby or having a car baby. So that was my plan for Tuesday, but this baby I knew was ready. Like, I felt like I was on a tipping point that if I did anything, I was going to have this baby. And so I gave everyone a heads up. I did the miles circuit. So I spent about 90 minutes going through the different positioning for the mile circuit, maybe just tweaking the positioning a bit for the baby. And then as soon as the hospital called, or excuse me, as soon as they opened, I called. And I remember speaking to a nurse and I just said, hey, I'm having prodromal labor. I'm over an hour away. This has been for 2 days now. I'm a fourth time mom. I know what my body's doing and I don't think it's going to let go until I have the things in place. And how powerful is that to know that our bodies have that power, that a situation or, you know, having things in place can really, you know, be a factor. And so I was explaining it to her and she said, let me just get you to the midwife. She put the midwife on the phone who was on that day. And it ended up being a friend of mine who lives here where I do in State College, but works out there. As soon as I heard her voice, literally, my body, I could tell, like it just let go. It knew she was the one who was going to deliver my baby. And I was just like, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me this amazing midwife who lives locally, who works over an hour away. She's the one who's working. She literally said, she's like, Steph? I'm like, Katie? She's like, yeah, I'm here and I'm here a while. She's like, why don't you call your parents, have them come to your house? They're about 2 hours away. Call your sister, have her get there. You guys come up and we'll see where you're at. We'll see what's going on. So that's exactly what I did. I called my parents. I called my sister. They started making their way. As soon as my parents got here, my husband and I left and drove out to the hospital. We got there at about 3:30 p.m. And seeing Katie was the best. It really was. I have a son who's 8. He loves Pokemon. She had on her little midwife cap and it was Pokemon. She is a son, same age as my son. And I'm just like, this is awesome. Like, this is how it's meant to be. And so she actually put me in a triage room. Like, I wasn't a real patient yet because I wasn't in labor. So she did a cervical check and I was between 3 and 4 centimeters, about 80 to 90% effaced. So we knew things were there. And I said, let's do a membrane sweep if you're good with that. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. And I know you know what you're doing. You guys labor here. We'll see where things go in the next couple hours. We'll do another check. Something I brought, which I love bringing to births, was just a yoga block. A yoga block. I like to kind of stand up and down on that and mimic curb walking. I like to do a lot of lunging in early labor. And so that yoga block was like my best friend. My husband and I literally were just tucked away in this triage room. I'm doing all this positioning and things and we're just like hanging out. I could feel my body was at such peace being there. 2 hours later, she checked me. I was even more dilated, even more effaced. And then she got busy. So lots of births happened. Midwives also go into C-sections at that hospital. So she was doing her thing. And it got to be maybe like 8 o'clock at night. So membrane sweep was about 4:30 p.m., 8 or so at night. My labor was picking up. I just remember watching the screen and my husband knew it as well. I could feel when my body switched over into labor, like on its own, just from the membrane sweep, like it did with my first and second baby. And so she comes back in and she's like, hey, do you want to do another cervical check? How are things going? I literally looked at her and I said, I don't need another cervical check. I need a room. We're going to do this thing like soon. Like I knew that my body was picking up. And something that was really special about my last pregnancy, my friends, being a fourth time mom, my friends wanted to throw me like a shower. And I'm like, I don't want that. Like, this is my fourth baby. They threw me a postpartum party, a postpartum prep party. And there were so many women here. Each of them brought me like a postpartum item, all little things, a postpartum cart. We built it there. We had little stations. They made energy balls. One of the things they did, though, each woman prayed over me and made a beaded bracelet. They put their bead on after they prayed and it formed a bracelet. And they all went home with a candle. And so I messaged out to my one friend who put this on and I said, you can message out for everyone to light their candles because I'm in labor full out and this baby is definitely coming. So they lit their candles, I would say about 9 p.m. And as soon as my body had switched over, like I said, I messaged my mom and sister who were about an hour away at my house. And my mom like lollygags. Sometimes she'll stop to get a coffee and I texted my sister. I said, out of nowhere, leave now. Don't let mom stop. And my sister knew that I meant business, that this baby was coming fast. I remember they texted me and they're like, what room are you in? I still didn't have a room at that point. Did not have a room. I was still in the triage room. They came and they made it like just in time. They were there maybe an hour and my baby was born. But they got there. And as soon as my sister got there, again, she was my doula. My mom and my husband were with me. My sister hung inspirational signs that my girlfriends made me at that postpartum prep party all over my room. Like being my sister, but also my doula, she knew exactly what to do. She knew that I didn't want maybe hands-on pressure at that point. I had the TENS unit and I would not have taken that off if you gave me $1 million. It was everything. I use it with my clients. It's one of my most used labor tools. That's what I used right when active labor picked up. My husband put that TENS unit on and I just flowed with it. And so I had that going. I was standing laboring on my own. They got there. My sister hung all the signs around and I was just kind of laboring on my own. And anytime like a nurse would ask me a question or kind of do anything, it would kind of break my flow, I would say. So my husband did all the questions and I had music on. I made like a pump up playlist and a peaceful playlist. I had the pump up music on. We knew that things were really, really picking up. They were about a minute and a half to 2 minute contractions at that point. And I was just standing at the side of the bed, kind of rocking. I think rhythm is huge in labor. Like if you can do something to get your mind off of it, not at one point in my labor and even in my birth, which I'll share next, did I think my uterus is going to rupture. This VBAC's not going to happen. Even this is a VBAC. Not even once did I think about it. I knew that this birth was just this birth. This was what I was just such in this place of belief and hope. And I knew that it could happen. I knew that I was so close. Nothing even like came into my mind. Not once, not even as I was like having him, did it cross my mind that this was a VBAC, which surprised me. But so I had the TENS unit on and within my birth plan, I didn't want to have an IV in until I was like ready to have the baby because I wanted to move freely. And they respected that. They really did. They said, as long as you can sit still and we can get it in, that's fine. And so they respected that. And literally maybe 20 minutes before I had him, they put the IV in. I remember the nurse missed twice. Looking at my veins, they look great. They're not. And my husband tried to tell them and the nurse is like, I got this. She didn't. And I literally said, you have one more try. And like, respectfully, I'm going to have to deny if not, because this baby is coming and I don't want to focus on this. And so finally got it in. Literally minutes later, I had on one of those, like just those diapers, Rayelle diapers or whatever they are for postpartum. I had one of those on. I felt a pop and my water had never broken with my births. My first and second birth, it was broken manually at about 7 or 8 centimeters. Again, I didn't know that I could just, you know, let my body do its thing. Whereas this time I knew that I didn't want my water broken unless, you know, that's where it ended up being. And so I looked down, I heard a pop and it was actually just like a pocket of blood. Which is the midwife and I talked about it after. We're like, I don't know what that was. I don't know. I don't know what it was. But a second later, my water broke. And the midwife was not in the room at the time. And when I had that little pocket of blood happen, I looked at my sister and she knew. She literally ran out and said, you know, where's Katie? She ran out of a C-section towards the room. My water broke. And 5 minutes later, my son was born. And so right when my water broke, even though I prepared so much as a doula, I knew how I wanted to have this baby. I wanted to be on all fours. That's what I wanted. I remember the midwife saying, so how do you want to deliver? And I said, I don't know. And my sister's like, she does know. She does know. She wants to be on all fours. They get me up on the bed and literally 5 minutes later, he was born and I was able to be on all fours and pull him to my chest myself. The midwife was like completely hands off. Again, we didn't know the gender. In my heart, like I felt like it was a boy, but we didn't know the gender. And I remember just the moment I touched him, I just looked down and I was so, so shocked that like the desires of my heart, like it was seeing that he was a boy and I was able to say that it was a boy. I pulled him to my chest and it was the best feeling to watch my body just go through that breech baby again, say yes to that ECV, that it was successful, that it worked for me, and that he stayed head down, and that I went into labor just from having a cervical check and a membrane sweep like I did with my first two. Like I trusted my body that that's what would happen. And that's what happened. And it was just absolutely incredible to be there with my husband, my mom, and my sister, and to have that experience. And they didn't rush into anything. It was literally the best of both worlds. It was the best of both worlds. It felt like a home birth to me, because they let me do my thing. I pulled my own baby to my chest. It wasn't, you know, a 2-minute delayed cord clamping. I feel like looking back at pictures, it was over 20 minutes. And it's because I'm like, yeah, now's okay. Like, sure. My husband cut the cord. And then my midwife, I feel like, just knew me. Like, she knew the type of person and my story. And she's like, do you want to cut the cord again? Like, would that be meaningful for you? I'm like, that, sure. And so, like, I got to do that and just be. And it was the best experience. Having the pregnancy I did with the OB care, the midwife who served me all throughout my pregnancy, like, that was so valuable. And even though I didn't have a home birth, I would say, like, to all of you listening, if you have a midwife close, and even if you're not planning a home birth, having that midwifery care throughout my pregnancy, where it's not just a 10 to 15 minute measure your belly and you're out, they deeply care. They see you. They know your kids' names. They know your desires. That for me was invaluable. I don't regret it at all. After I had him, she ended up coming to my house for postpartum care. She came to see me. She weighed my baby. I still had that experience of weighing the baby at home, my kids there. I still had that. And so it was like a full circle moment when she came back to my house postpartum. So, I mean, just reliving it, it's going back there. It's like so magical and just so transformative, but also like reliving it, it just brings back everything that lined up to make it possible. Like my aunt coming up to be with my kids, to have that ECV, my sister sacrificing and bringing her 2-week-old baby to stay at my house with her husband so she can drive to be with me. Like, it was better than I could have ever imagined, even though it wasn't what I planned for.
I love it. So I feel like my face hurts because I've just been smiling this whole time. And then I'm like teary. Yeah. And wow. I think what I love too, Steph, is that I think so often in the birth world in general, we're told like, stay away from the hospital until you're like about ready to push out a baby. And you should never be there before that because it'll doom your birth. And what I love is that for you, it was a safe space that allowed you to relax. And I think I tell my clients that a lot of like, yes, there's this like, we want to labor at home where we feel safe, but also like if there's comfort in being at the hospital for whatever reason that is, sometimes that can be really helpful too.
Yes, because you chose the hospital where you knew you would feel safe. Like you were so picky about it.
Yes. Oh, and that's the thing. I feel like we can't settle. Like, yes, I feel like for me, I did have the advantage being a doula, being at multiple hospitals, getting to know the providers. Yes, I had that for me. I had that going for me. But that doesn't mean that someone listening that's not a doula, that it's, you know, their second baby and they only know that first hospital, that doesn't mean you have to deliver there again. That doesn't mean you can't sit down with other providers and go through what it would look like to have a VBAC. I mean, I remember when I was getting that OB care with my midwife alongside of me, I think I was maybe 31 or 32 weeks. I was in the room and it was with a provider that maybe she had a bad day. I have not been at a birth with her. I know she's a great doctor, but maybe it was a bad day. And I remember her saying, so like, what are your plans? Your baby's breech. And I said, I'm going to continue doing the positioning and all the things. And she literally said, like, spinning babies? I don't believe in that. It took everything in me to just, I didn't react. But at the end of that appointment, she said, follow me. We're going to get you scheduled. And I literally remember my feet walking, following her, thinking like, why am I walking to the scheduling room? It brought back a flashback of that third birth that was the C-section for me. When you sit down and you schedule your C-section, that's what I was doing. It was almost like I was being pulled in to getting myself scheduled for a C-section. And I remember sitting down with the C-section scheduler person, and I was not like rude or anything like that, but I said, like, there's one provider here that I would do an ECV with because I've seen him do it with a client that I would trust. You can find when he's working and we can do it. I said, but if my baby becomes head down, I'm not having a C-section. I'm not just going to sign myself up for it, right? Obviously, if that's what happens, that's what happens. But I remember telling her that. And so that feeling, following that provider into that scheduling room, sitting down, I knew that I was not meant to have my baby at this hospital. And this hospital, great hospital, great providers. But for me, in this birth, for myself, it was not the place for me for this birth. And I knew that. Seeing how respectful and that midwives are there 24/7. And I could have chosen, you know, hey, I'm ready to have this baby. I would like an OB to deliver. I could choose. That is really special. And where I live, it's the only place that there's midwives all the time there. There's midwives employed at other hospitals locally, but only a couple days a week and when they're there. So I really wanted to go to the place where I felt the most peace. And I was given advice at one time, and I'll never forget it. And it's, if your peace is shaken at all, ask a question or act on it. Like, and I knew at that time that kind of shook me, and I had to explore other options. And so that's exactly what I did.
And it paid off.
Yeah.
Big time. Wow. Yeah. Oh, women of strength. Oh. Like, when we say women of strength, Stephanie, you embody all of that. Exactly. Because it's just, this is what we wish for all of you to have. And this is what having a doula can do for you and what education does for you, because it can quite literally change the trajectory of your birth. And even still, right, Stephanie, like, you held it with open hands, but you didn't let people walk over you. You didn't let people insert their plans into your plans. You were so intentional about it and pivoted. And it was so beautiful. Like, and it was everything you dreamed it would be.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on. Wow.
Yeah. And I love that you said, you know, like, okay, so you maybe are at an advantage because you're a doula, but I think that's why you hire a doula, right? Because then you get that same advantage, because you have the doula that has been at a couple different hospitals that can say, like, oh gosh, I actually think this provider would be really great for you.
Yes.
And I think that that's like the sweet spot of like what we all get to do for our clients is no one expects you to have toured every hospital and know every OB versus the midwife and this practice and how they work versus this one. But to get to be able to say, like, this is a good provider for you, this is a good fit, is really, really sweet. So
my biggest regrets from my first two births were not having a doula, honestly, like, looking back. And I wonder, like, what would have been different, but having someone there, again, with my birth, who knew what my birth plan was, when even though I prepared so much, how do you want to deliver? I don't know. You do know, right? And so it's that person that's there. And I mean, that's like a huge, huge tip that I would share with anyone. The doula is like the inside scoop person. They know the midwives, they know the doctors, they know all the hospitals, they know all the things. And to put your trust into someone that, like, that's what their passion is so meaningful, to put that trust into someone. So,
yeah. Amazing. Aww. Okay, well, where can people find you if they're looking for your programs online? You have some humans that follow you on the Instagrams. Tell us all the places and where local folks can connect with you. Share it away.
Yeah, so on my website, it kind of houses everything. So Mission Rise, Mission Motherhood, my postpartum program, and then also Stroller Fitness and my doula work. They can contact me there. And that's stephaniestockline.com. And then my Instagram, I post often. I'm always sharing things in my stories. A lot of birth stuff, a lot of fitness and nutrition and motherhood. Like, I feel like what I do is like a one-stop shop for, I want to be like your mom best friend, but I also have deep knowledge and education in fitness and in birth. And I just want women to just have so much strength and to just live motherhood fully. Like, when I'm teaching Stroller Fitness and I have that first time mom who comes and doesn't know a single person and see her face light up that she is a community of people, it's everything. So the two places, my website and then Instagram, which is Stephanie_Stockline.
Amazing. And we'll link those both in the show notes for you, Women of Strength. But Stephanie, thank you so much for being
here. Thank you both so much for having me. It was a true honor to be able to share.
Would you like to be a guest on the podcast? Head over to thevbacklink.com/share to submit your story. For information on all things VBAC, including online and in-person VBAC classes, the VBAC blog, the worldwide database for VBAC doulas, and more, head over to thevbaclink.com. Congratulations on starting your journey of learning and discovery with the VBAC Link.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode and for being a part of our community. One of my favorite parts of the VBAC Link is the community itself. When I was pregnant and planning for a VBA 2C, the VBAC Link community group on Facebook truly became a virtual village for me. It's where I could see real VBAC stories, ask questions without judgment, and get encouragement from people who genuinely understood what I was preparing for. If you are planning a VBAC and want support as you get ready, head over to Facebook and search the VBAC Link community, because women of strength become even stronger together.